Welcome into a special live trade deadline edition of Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange. I'm joined by Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. Charlie writes a column weekly for sportsmap.com. Follow him on X at Palillo. Read Josh's work daily on sportsmap.com and follow him on X at JoshJordan975. Click like on the video, please, if you're here. And it goes a long way to helping keep our channel alive and thriving. And subscribe if you haven't already. So everyone watching, we are live right now at the moment. The deadline has just passed as we're recording this. And so we will try to keep you updated with breaking news if should anything break while we're going here. So gents, in addition to the much maligned Kikuchi trade that went down on Monday, we had news break this afternoon, on Tuesday afternoon, that the Astros finalized a deal that would send high A right-handed pitcher Kelly Austin to the Yankees for left-handed pitcher Caleb Ferguson. So guys, I think the Ferguson news notwithstanding, there's been a lot of reaction and emoting online by fans. So Charlie, I'll start with you. How much of this is healthy skepticism and fandom and loyalty to these prospects that we've seen? And, you know, how much is this is overreaction?
Well, it's a big kettle, so you can throw a lot of ingredients, those ingredients in there. There's room for a lot in the pot. A lot of overreaction. That this is a preposterous, ridiculous, straight-up imbecilic trade the Astros made for Kikuchi. Deep breaths, everybody. Joey Loperfido is not a premium prospect. Will Wagner is not a premium prospect. Jake Bloss is the real downside risk in this, but it's not as if he's Hall Skeens 2.0 or what Steven Strasburg was coming along as a prospect, and you have to give up something. If the Astros had done nothing, Dana Brown, the organization, Jeff Bagwell, they'd have all been battered from pillar to post for sitting on their hands. So they make a move for a guy who comes with question marks. You know, recency bias, Kikuchi's been awful, right? The well-understood 7.75 ERA over his last eight starts. But for the season, he's at 4.75. He's better than Spencer Arrighetti. He's better than Jake Bloss in terms of what you would hope to get from him the rest of the season. Is he Jack Flaherty? No. Is he Blake Snell? No. Is he any of the other top-end pitchers who were or not traded? No. The Astros didn't have the goods to get any of those guys. The farm system stinks, okay? You can make some moves. But you say Kikuchi was at their level. I think it's an on-paper overpay, but that it's a horrific, this is the doom of the organization level of trade. Please, settle down. It's good that you care. But settle down. Kikuchi brings some stuff to the table. A better than 4-1 strikeout ratio. Chief concern for me is that as a left-handed pitcher who will face stacked right-handed lineups, he serves up home run balls like few others. So pop flies that wind up in the Crawford box, that's risk A with Kikuchi. But he leads the league in starts. He's taken a ball every 5 days, 22 times so far this season. 4.75 ERA is not good, but it's better than the Astros' fourth and fifth starters. This is the incremental type of upgrade that we talked about. As for the guys they gave up, and Brandon, you mentioned the immediate attachment. Joey Loperfido was a wonderful story, from Paella to going crazy to start the season at AAA. 9 for his last 63 with the Astros. 2 home runs in 106 at-bats, 43 strikeouts versus just 7 walks. I'm not burying Joey Loperfido's career off that still limited sample size, but he was not a good player here in his time here. A couple of marvelous plays in the outfield. He doesn't hold the patent on those. Jake Myers makes plenty. Chaz McCormick has made some. Whenever healthy, Kyle Tucker makes some. If they actually let Pedro Leon play a little bit, he can catch the ball. Joey Loperfido is not a top-tier prospect. He would not be in the top 5 of very many organizations at all. You probably wouldn't need a second hand to count them. He put up big stats to his credit, but in a terrific hitters league where everybody hits. He hit 8 home runs in 12 games at Albuquerque
and Reno. Albuquerque altitude higher than Denver. Reno only 4,500 feet. Low Perfido stats, like so many guys in the Pacific Coast League, they're skewed by the ballpark environments. Or every pitcher in that league is terrible and every hitter in that league is great. So Low Perfido is already 25 years old. This isn't some young rising phenom. At best, he'll probably be a platoon player. But as we've seen here, if he can't make bat hit ball better than 43 strikeouts every 106 at-bats, he has no chance to be a good major league regular. Way too many people are acting like the Astros traded Lance Berkman out of the minor league. As for Will Wagner, interesting in some respects, but he just turned 26 years old. He's a slap hitter. I love the fact that he walks much more than he struck out at AAA, but he's 26 years old. He's a below-average defender. He's kind of the bizarro world Mauricio Dubon. Offensively, he shows some good stuff. Defensively, not so much. Dubon, defensively, very versatile and good almost everywhere you put him. Offensively, Dubon's not very good. Bloss is the risk, right? If he goes on and becomes a real good number two starter and the Astros were hurting for pitching in the years ahead, but you had to give up something to get something, and the Astros are in a tough race. Damn right they could lose this division and miss out on the playoffs entirely. So to not do anything, if Kikuchi was the best that they could do, and they overpay, but not egregiously overpay, you live with it. This is a team trying to make the playoffs for the eighth consecutive year, the league championship series for the eighth consecutive year. We touched upon yesterday. Seattle's gotten better. Texas has gotten better. Before the deadline, Kansas City, multiple moves to get better. You know, teams in the wild card race, the Astros are behind. If the Yankees have gotten better, the Orioles have gotten better. The Astros, on paper, got a little bit better with this trade. Now it's on Kikuchi to deliver. I hope he has mental toughness, because the first Walker hit he gives up at Minute Maid Park, they're probably going to boo the crap out of him.
That's true. Well, you kind of hit on it there, Charlie. I don't know how much better these deals make the Astros. We'll see, you know, if they can find some stuff with Kikuchi to, you know, put him through the Astros car wash and improve him. We've seen him do it with other pitchers. Great. But just the strategy is why people are upset. This makes zero sense. The one team you go try and make a deal with is your former general manager, who has an axe to grind, knows baseball really well. He won a World Series. And he knows you really well. He might know your prospects better than Dana Brown knows a lot of these guys. So the thought that you're going to go to come to the table and make a deal with them, that makes zero sense to me. I would avoid the Blue Jays at all costs for all the stuff I laid out. There's other starting pitchers. There's better options. There's no reason to go there where he knows he has you. And he also knows Jim Crane. He knows that Jim Crane doesn't really value prospects that much. He knows what it's like to have Jeff Bagwell breathing down your neck at the trade deadline, telling you have to go make a splash at all costs. So to me, it's insane that you would go to him and try and get a deal done when there were other pitchers available. And it's what they gave up too. Let me start with Keith Law here on Kikuchi. He's little more than a replacement level starter at this point. That's kind of what we look at some of these other guys that they could have gotten. I mean, I look at Blackburn from the A's. He went to the Mets. All they had to trade the A's for Blackburn was their third round pick from last year, who's a pitcher in high A ball. And that was the whole deal. And Blackburn's under control for another year. I know he doesn't throw as hard as Kikuchi, but he's a low 4 ERA guy like Kikuchi. So just to me, that what you had to give up compared to that type of deal, if you're just getting a replacement level starter, why are you having to give up three players? I think you wouldn't even had to probably give up Bloss in this deal for Blackburn. I know he's working back from injury. He's doing some rehab starts. He had a stress fracture in his foot earlier this year. He's missed time. But over the last few years, he's been pretty reliable, low 4 ERA guy, innings eater. That's what I thought they were going to go after. Instead, I think they picked out Kikuchi as somebody they really coveted over these other guys, I guess based on his high velo, but he doesn't have high spin to go at that high velo. The contact that he gives up is crazy. This is also from Keith Law here. Fully a quarter of the balls batted off of him this year, fair or foul, have left the bat at over 100 miles per hour or more. So even though he throws hard, he doesn't miss a lot of barrels. And Charlie hit on the home runs at Minute Maid. 14 of the 17 homers he's given up this year have been to right-handed batters. And look where you're going to be playing at Minute Maid. So for me, I just see this in a completely different view. I just don't understand the strategy. That I wouldn't have talked to Toronto. There's other players that could have helped you out. I think this was a big miss. And if you watch Dana Brown in that press conference after they talked about acquiring Kikuchi, he looked like he was going to cry. The sound of his voice and the look on his face, it didn't look like he was real excited with the move. So I just wonder, you got some pressure from above, and James Click knew that he could take advantage of that. And that's why I think a lot of Astros fans are not happy with this deal.
Jacob Melton is an outfielder who's a better prospect than Loperfido. Luis Baez is an outfielder who's a prospect who's better than Loperfido as a prospect. Will Wagner, Zach DiCenzo, missed a chunk of the season injured, much more highly regarded as a prospect than Will Wagner. Bloss, again, he's the one that you're hoping you're not looking back and saying, oh boy. But no one thinks Jake Bloss is a future ace, and he was a third-round draft pick just a year ago. Right, he rocketed through the minors in part because he pitched well and because the Astros were desperate for bodies. So the proof will be in the pudding, right? Kikuchi needs to perform decently. He's not acquired to be what Verlander was or what Zach Greinke was traded for. And a reminder on prospects, most of them don't pan out. Anyone still regretting, oh no, you dealt Seth Beer or Daz Cameron, who are way more highly regarded as prospects than Loperfido or Wagner. Of course, you were getting Verlander and Greinke as opposed to Yusei Kikuchi. So it will play out, but that this is an abomination and that this is a complete disaster of a trade. Right? The possibility is that Kikuchi comes to a much better team and pitches better as a result. And he's a rental. You're not on the hook for major money going forward. In terms of the other pitchers available, Blackburn, injury history, given all the pitchers the Astros have lost to injury, they're hoping Kikuchi can give them probably six innings, three earned runs on a fairly consistent basis, which they did not get out of Arrighetti. They did not get out of Bloss. There was not reason to think you would get it from either guy, the balance of this season. But, you know, they didn't have the stuff to make an offer to get Zach Eflin. Would they have wanted to pay him $18 million next year? They didn't have enough to win an offer for Jack Flaherty and untraded. Unless we get something post-deadline that comes in. Blake Snell, Garrett Crochet. When your farm system is weak, you can't shop Neiman Marcus, right? The Astros had to go more Walmart, and they hope they squeeze value out of the product.
It's more than just pressure from the front office or, you know, from ownership to make a move. It's pressure from the state of your roster right now that dictates that you have to have a major league caliber starting pitcher, whether it's Kikuchi or otherwise. Jake Bloss is not that yet. We've only seen as much of Bloss as we have because, you know, him and Arrighetti for that matter, because this roster is in a state of absolute emergency due to the rotation being ravaged by injury. But also because this team has refused to address starting pitching in the last 2 years of the off seasons, which led to a trade for Verlander in 2023 and then led to the trade for Kikuchi this year. So, you know, it admittedly, we all said it was going to be a seller's market. The prices were going to be extraordinarily high. We said on this show that it was probably going to hurt whatever it was. I don't think we could have foreseen that it was going to be this deal that would hurt for this player. I've seen a lot of people online that say, well, you just don't make a move then. Well, I just don't know that's an option because you have Bregman's deals up. Verlander could be gone. Urquidy won't be ready to pitch and his contract's also up. You don't know what you're going to get out of Luis Garcia when he's back and healthy. You don't know what you're going to get out when you're going to get back Christian Javier or what he'll look like when you do. The state of the major league team and the condition of the farm system dictates that you're in win now mode, whatever that means. So I don't think that not making a move was an option. And for the people that are attached to Bloss, I'll just echo what you said, Charlie. For those that are attached to him, all I can say is there were people that were upset about trading away Franklin Perez in 2017 for Verlander. He was their number three overall prospect. Where is he now? Playing in Venezuela. People were upset to trade Seth Beer, as you said, for Zach Greinke. Where is he now? Playing in the Pirates AAA system. I've seen people, you know, say, well, you had team control of Bloss for the next 5 or 6 years. Well, you've had that same team control for Forrest Whitley, who was a more highly coveted prospect. And we know how that's worked out. So we don't know what the major league value of a Jake Bloss will eventually be going forward. It would have been awesome to see that and see how he turns out. But It's just not a luxury that this team, as it's currently constructed, can afford.
Look, part of this, for a lot, it's fun to rage against the machine, right? If you're not ship shape, and Dana Brown hasn't been to a World Series here as general manager, he's 0-1. He went to a decisive game of American League Championship Series, not exactly a flaming failure. But with the state of the farm system that he inherited, and hopefully for the Astros' sake is building back up, they weren't going to trade Bryce Matthews. They just drafted Walker Yannick. They weren't going to trade him. So he was playing the short stack in terms of what he could offer. Let's also include the reality that a fair percentage of the people going nutso over this trade declare the Astros season dead 3 months ago, right? They are in first place. Fortunately, location, 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 the American League worst is just that. Any other division in the Astros would be somewhere between slim and none on the chances of winning it, but they're in this race. And maybe if they'd gone to the playoffs two of the last 4 or 5 years, they wouldn't dig in and make this play for Kikuchi, where you're thinking, all right, you're overpaying. But the tactical decision, right, if the end of days is near, if the demise is underway, well then, make the best deal you can to try to squeeze out of 2024 what you can get out of it. I mean, it will be holy hell, of course, if Kikuchi struggles, the Astros wind up not making the playoffs. At least Toronto's not going to make a big surge led by Joey Loperfido and Will Wagner this year.
Yeah, for me, Kikuchi himself isn't what bothers me. I love left-handed starters that have high mid-90s type fastballs. It's just what they gave up in the team that they decide to negotiate with. And like we can play the let's look down the road game for prospects, and you don't know what this really is right now. But there is a perceived value at the time of the deal, or we wouldn't be talking about this guy was ranked in this guy in, you know, this team's system at this level. There is some of that matters now. So, and it's not just Astros fans. Look across just national coverage of this. That is the narrative that the Toronto Blue Jays fleeced the Astros. It's Keith Law believes that the Toronto did very well. Pretty much anybody you listen to, MLB Network, whatever, they think Toronto got over on the Astros. But at the end of the day, if Kikuchi delivers and you are able to get him going and, you know, I think he needs to throw his changeup more. It's his fastball that gets obliterated. He's wild in the strike zone. That's why so many barrels just square him up so easily. And you know, the Astros with adding changeups, he's got a pretty good one. He only throws it about 11% of the time. So maybe we look at what they did with Blanco. They add some other pitches to his arsenal, tinker with it a little bit, and you have something with him. And we know the Astros have that history. Hell, maybe Alex Bregman can help him out. He's the one that's been helping the pitching staff so much lately. You know, if we're put our cards on the table, I like the player. I feel like the Astros can do something there. I wouldn't negotiate with somebody in that situation because they have all the leverage on you, and it just didn't make sense to me. But if they felt like he's the only player that had the tools that they were looking for, you know, we've seen them bring in the Charlie Mortons of the world and Garrett Coles, guys that throw hard and have good breaking stuff, but they didn't really put it all together until they joined the Astros. Maybe if we see something like that with Kikuchi, that would be great. But also, this isn't about next year or anything like that. You know, you're just renting this guy. You're going to have the same pitching problems next year, whether you grab Kikuchi or not. So maybe that is the sense that they are, this is our last ride with Breggy. Let's do whatever we can to just add a little extra to improve the team. Mariners already made some improvements. So, you know, glass half full. You just hope that they can eat some innings with this guy. They can get some quality starts out of him. I like the idea of having another lefty, but I find it interesting. Most people don't think if they do make the playoffs, he'll be one of the top four starters. So, you know, does that mean he moves to the bullpen? A lot of unknown here that we'll have to see as the rest of the season unfolds.
Look, the Padres gave up a package of clearly better prospects to rent a relief pitcher. Tanner Scott has been fantastic for the Marlins this season, yeah. But Padres gave up their second, fourth, and fifth rated prospects out of a system that's much stronger than the Astros system for a guy who they hope to get 25 innings out of the rest of the regular season, right? The Astros are hoping to get 10 starts or so out of Kikuchi. His level of performance obviously will dictate how we're talking about this a couple of months from now. Pretty analogous statistically this season to Kikuchi, Trevor Rogers, who went to the Orioles. Baltimore gave up Connor Norby, who's a much better prospect than Loperfido or Will Wagner. Well, the Orioles farm system is great. It just runs laps around the Astros farm system, so the Orioles could deal better prospects without doing damage to their overall system. There is the overall that the cumulative brain drain of the Astros organization from the Astros organization, it's an issue, right? Dana Brown, task one was to rejuvenate the Astros farm system. Work in progress, fruits of that, we'll see. Hey, he did draft Bloss, who was enough to help them make this trade. But Dana Brown building up the system, I think that was the most critical part of his job description when he was hired. But that meant the Crane, Bagwell, Reggie Jackson window of an offseason. And they have dealt, granted, from one of the worst farm systems in baseball. But in terms of sheer numbers, they have given up a lot over these last couple of trade deadlines. But they're not giving up anyone that around Major League Baseball is saying, wow, that guy would be like the Orioles trading Jackson Holliday. So the Astros, you can't bankrupt the system that's already broke. So trading Loperfido and Wagner is not devastating. Wagner has no power. I like him over Shea Whitcomb if one of those guys was going to be Bregman's successor at third base next year. But he's already 26 years old. Loperfido, as I said, is 25. The Astros did not trade away anyone who is likely to become a real good major league regular. Hey, if it happens, oops. But those who are ready to draw and quarter Jim Crane on down in the Astros front office, be prepared to apologize if the trade works out halfway decently.
Let me come at it from a different angle. In my opinion, the real problem isn't this trade, the Kikuchi trade. I think the Kikuchi trade is a symptom of a bigger issue, which has been Houston's failures in free agency. In 2023, Houston paid Michael Brantley $12 million to mostly be a spectator from the bench. He literally could not swing a bat when they inked that deal, and when they needed him the most, his body could not answer the bell. They spent $58.5 million for Jose Abreu, and he was so bad, they waived him and ate $30 million, with $19.5 million of which falls onto next year's ledger. They gave Montero a three-year, $35.5 million deal, and he's been virtually unplayable for two seasons, and he's owed another $11.5 million next year. This offseason, they let Hector Neris walk, gave Josh Hader 5 years, $95 million. He now has an ERA over four so far and has already given up the second most home runs of his career. The problem isn't just that Houston has had to shove at the trade deadline each year. It's that they've had to trade for Verlander. They've had to trade for Graveman. They've bombed so bad in free agency that they've had to move assets to bring in players to bolster the roster. And out of those moves, only Hader was on Dana Brown's watch. And that's not counting the $85 million that they spent on Lance McCullers in 2021, whose outlook is foggy at best and over at worst. So and that doesn't count the $64 million that they invested in Christian Javier, who will miss most of this season and part of next. Granted, injuries are not their fault, but it's certainly a problem and part of the equation. And I just will echo what you said, Charlie, that Dana Brown is in an impossible situation. You ask him to rebuild the farm system, and then he has to turn around and trade away those pieces to keep the team in win now mode. But what I want to know is, what does that even mean? They still need a first baseman. They still need starting pitching. They still need middle relief help. Their closing situation is now more volatile than it was last year. So, Charlie, like, is this? I want to know what you both think. Is this trajectory sustainable? Because we've heard Jim Crane say that as long as he owns the team, they're going to be in win now contender mode. But that math is not mathing for me. At some point, you shove and shove and shove and shove, you hit a brick wall, and you're almost forced to reboot here. What are your thoughts?
Runs end. And yeah, the Astros appear to be moving in that direction. But they're in a division where there's no superpower to deal with. out of Seattle, which now has three or four premium hitting prospects, but they're all young guys, mid-minor guys, not pounding on the door to get to the major leagues. You know, if they can mesh a real offense with the best starting rotation in the American League, then over the next 3 to 5 years, the Astros, Texas Rangers might have big trouble. Right? The Rangers are facing some of the same questions that the Astros are now. And the Angels and A's are jokes. Right? The Astros are in a division with the Dodgers, they'd be in big trouble. They're in a division with the Phillies and the Braves, they'd be in big trouble. The Astros are in the American League East, they'd be in big trouble. But I don't think they're doomed to not sniff the playoffs for the next 5 years because they're in the American League West. But this is no longer a great team. Not presently a great organization, judged by major league talent, minor league talent, right? They won 90 games, eked into the playoffs last year, and then almost got back to the World Series, but the Astros were a good team last season. And there's no shame in being a good team, but not anywhere close to great. Well, this team is now less than that team was, and that from 12-24, 7-19, 12-24, they put together a couple of fabulous months. Plenty of teams put together a couple of fabulous months within a season. Right, the Mariners had their big run early. The Yankees were spectacular and then fell apart for a while. Right, the Braves were off to another fantastic start, and then all their injuries sunk their ship. The Phillies have hit an iceberg lately after playing 650 ball for 3 months. It's where are you at the end of 162 games? And the Astros, the spectrum is quite clear. They can still, obviously, win this division. They can also finish out of the money and out of the playoffs. And is there a head or two position to roll because of that? But Jim Crane would hear the famous last words, under me, the window will always be open. With their results, you're entitled, I guess, to be a little bit arrogant. But if your decision-making takes on some arrogance and hubris, well, you can come back around to bite you.
That's where I'm at with this. You know, Brandon, you brought up all the bad free agent contracts. Montero, Abreu, Hader looks like a bad contract at this point. This is the same people that brought you this. You saw that photo of Bagwell sitting there with Dana Brown on the Pirates broadcast last night. We've heard Reggie Jackson talk about, oh, we didn't go with Blake Snell because we really value this and that and that. These same people are making these decisions that made these terrible free agency decisions. So we can say like, oh, they're only in this spot where they have to make these deals because of these bad free agent decisions. They're the people that did it. They shot themselves in the foot. They need to go fix their mistakes. I don't feel bad for that. They put themselves in this situation and they're trying to get out of it. And that's where the thing with Dana Brown, it's really funny. Some people are just, oh, this is a Dana Brown move and we need to blame him for it. We really don't know if this was more of a Jim Crane or a Bagwell or a Reggie Jackson. But from Reggie Jackson's comments, it sounds like, you know, the four or five of them get around a table and they come to some kind of collective decision. And based on a lot of the results, now there've been some good results. Taylor Scott, that's found money right there. That was a terrific addition. So it's not all bad moves, but a lot of the big money moves have looked pretty poor. And it doesn't help when Hader goes out and gives up another moonshot just a few hours, you know, after the trade information comes in. And then it makes you go like, oh man, do I trust these guys to keep making these decisions? But we'll see. It's July technically still. We got a lot of baseball left. We'll see how the Hader move looks in 2 or 3 years. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out. But I don't feel like we should feel bad for these guys. They're the ones that made these decisions to put themselves behind the eight ball.
No, I agree with you completely. And I want to make sure that people understand that's not the case I'm making. What I'm saying is you're bleeding prospects because of the mismanagement of free agency money. And again, like you can't ever project who's going to get hurt. They could not have projected Jose Abreu washing out as quickly as he did. They could have prevented spending that third year. You're going to spend another $19.5 million next year because you gave him a third year that no one else would. So you gave Montero a three-year contract when he only had one good year. And you rewarded him disproportionately for that 1 year. And then you turn around and let Hector Neris walk and overcompensate by signing Josh Hader, which I don't have any problem with the Hader contract per se. It just seems like an overcorrection. And it also seems like you're paying disproportionate to the production that you've gotten so far. I don't even think that's even a question that you're overpaying at this point for Hader.
Well, have a problem with the Hader contract per se. At point of signing, he was very overhyped as a year in, year out, electrifying, blows away the world closer. He's basically gone good year, bad year, the last four seasons, including this one. And this is a bad year. By the Astros, Trump, he's converted 20 consecutive save opportunities. I X'd after the game last night. Big effing deal. It's stat padding. Josh Hader has 20 saves this season out of 21, right? He blew the first one. He's converted 20 since. They give him one gimme save opportunity after another. You know how many times Josh Hader's come in with a one-run lead in the ninth inning and saved the game? Three of his 20 saves. Nine times he's come in with a three-run lead. By definition, it's a save. It's not a save. It's you didn't completely melt down and catastrophically blow the game. You come in with a three-run lead. One game that ended, that some might say, well, Josh Hader had a one-run save in that game. Yeah, after he gave up a grand slam to Carlos Correa to make a 13-8 game, 13-12. Josh Hader has not been good this season. And he's not been good year in, year out. I mean, he's given up four lose-the-game ninth inning or later home runs, including to the great Christian Vasquez, Michael Taylor in the game Monday night, Logan O'Happy got him with the Angels, and Davis Schneider, Toronto, the one blown save. In tie game situations, he's been horrible. He's actually the microcosm of the Astros. With a big lead, they look great. Close game, the Astros are probably going to lose. Right, they're 8-17 in one-run games. They're 7-11, I think, is the current count in two-run games. They're like 40-22 in games decided by three or more. Josh Hader in a close game this season, frankly, sucks. Three one-run saves. I think it's 7 two-run saves and 9 three-run saves, and then plus the one that, oh, it was a one-run save. Not really. He turned it into a one-run game with Correa. Four more years at $19 million is a terrible, terrible contract for Josh Hader. But it's only money if you're going to view it as only money. If it's going to impact spending in other areas of the organization, idiotic contract for a relief pitcher in his 30s, who, as I said, last had an ERA 380, lower than 380 2 years in a row, 2017 and 2018, or 2018 and 2019. And as you know, to Brandon, he's at 4-11 going into Tuesday night.
Josh, going back to something you said earlier, I've heard those same comments that you were talking about how this is solely on Dana Brown, that you can't put this on Jeff Bagwell. Says who? But exactly. Because out of Reggie Jackson's own mouth told us that all the decision-making that happens in the front office of this team goes in front of that committee. So I'm sorry, if I'm going to trust the man who's in the room, if I'm going to take him at his word, because he's part of the committee that makes those decisions. So I'm sorry. Like I understand that some people, you know, have inside sources and maybe have a little bit more insight into what's going on. But until I hear otherwise, I'm going to trust Reggie Jackson at his word, because he's one of the people that's part of that committee. So we'll end it on this. I just want you guys, you know, we've talked about pundits putting grades on it, people saying that, you know, the Astros got fleeced or whatever the case is. The truth is, we don't know. The truth is, we have to see this play out before we can really say whether these moves were a net positive or not. So I want to know from you guys, what do you see as what's going to be the metrics that make these moves to look back on as a net positive for this team?
Well, obviously the Astros have to be in the playoffs this season. When you trade for two rentals, if you don't get to the playoffs, then it automatically becomes an F. But at point of trade, I do not give it an F. Kikuchi's been a durable starter. Mentioned 7 of his first 13 starts this season. Quality start definition met. Just one of his last 9. Last year, an ERA of 3.86. If he can pitch to that level, that's a very valuable addition to an Astros rotation that in the back end has been leaking oil all season long. Caleb Ferguson's just another fungible guy that they'll stick in the bullpen instead of sending a Caleb Ort up and down, Sean Dubin up and down seemingly every other day. Ferguson's a middle inning lefty option for them. But he basically is an appendix in this body, right? A vestigial organ of no meaningful value. It's about what does Kikuchi do, and can he be competent? No one should be asking him to be excellent. But if he is competent over the bulk of his starts, then giving up Joey Loperfido, Will Wagner, and Jake Bloss is not tragic. The Jake Bloss loss bears watching going forward. But Loperfido and Wagner, that's nothing like giving up a Trew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford a year ago.
Right. With Ferguson, I'm not expecting much here. Joe Espada spoke before the game today and just said, you know, he's a guy we had our eye on. We thought that we had a couple things that maybe we could tweak with him to get, you know, better results. So maybe if they do that, great. But, you know, looking from Yankee fans, they were like, we got a player for him? Hallelujah. So Yankees fans are kind of shocked that anybody wanted him at all. But
he traded for a guy who spent his whole career with the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Yeah.
Maybe it's about intel.
Yeah, the 1 year with the Yankees, not so great. So we'll see what happens there. And with Kikuchi, for me, it's a win if, and I'll even leave the Astros prospects out of it. If Kikuchi can give you those innings you're talking about, if he can be a reliable back of the rotation guy where you see a ripple effect to where Hunter Brown and Ronel Blanco, they get a little more rest and they're able to maintain the way they've been pitching this year and a bridge to get Verlander back. And we'll see about Luis Garcia. And that's the other thing quickly, too, with this decision by Dana Brown. He knows what the medicals are a lot better than we do with Justin Verlander and Luis Garcia and these other guys. So we have to keep in mind that he may know something that we don't, and pitching might have been an even bigger priority than we even realize. And we know it was a big priority. So just something to keep in mind there. But, yeah, if Kikuchi can come in, stay healthy, keep you in ball games. I'm reminded, too, his ERA was 4 flat. Until his last 3 starts, it spiked up to 4.75. So just recently, he struggled and had some poor games. And I think back to early July when he faced the Astros, he looked pretty good. That might have been why the Astros wanted him. They got to see him up close and personal and were impressed with what he did. So yeah, if he could just give you that those innings, Hunter Brown, can he stay doing what he's doing? Ronel Blanco, if he'd help hold down the fort until reinforcements arrive and you get to the postseason, then I'm going to be okay with it. I just don't like the logic of dealing with somebody that you know has leverage on you. And remember, he doesn't just have an axe to grind against Jim Crane. It gets Bagwell, too. You know, from what we understand, it was Bagwell and Dusty that pushed out Jim Crane. So I just don't want to have to go into a situation where I know I'm already in trouble before the negotiations even begin.
No reminder that after this stretch of off Thursdays winds down, the Astros have stretches remaining this season where they have games 18 days in a row and separately 16 days in a row. So Kikuchi is ready to take the ball every time his turn comes around. If he can pitch to an ERA of 4, that's just fine for the back of a rotation.
And you mentioned Verlander, probably worth updating on that note that Verlander threw to live batters today, which that's apparently ahead of schedule. So I guess a bit of good news to put a cherry on top of this conversation.
Rehab starts expected soon, Brandon, as part of that update.
And Josh, you mentioned intel, which reminds me one thing on the way out the door is I've also heard that part of the appeal of Kikuchi could be that he's historically pitched well against the Yankees. So maybe that's a factor in some form or fashion. So we don't know how much that actually played into it. I would personally be a little bit frightened to run him against their lineup, but I guess maybe in long relief in some part of the lineup where maybe there's a section of their hitters that maybe you'd feel good about pitching him against. Maybe that's the case. Not real sure, but I think all factors were considered here. I don't think this was a ill-informed move. I just think it may have been a move in which they just were forced to do something, and we don't know what those conversations were behind the scenes. We don't know what the phone call sounded like, and it wasn't just James Click that knew the Astros were bent over a barrel. Like every team knew what the Astros needed, and perhaps they just don't want to give the Astros more ammo. Maybe they're just tired of seeing the Astros, roll into the ALCS every year after year after year.
And let's include that obviously we're in the Astros tunnel in viewing this and talking about it. But within the division, right, the Mariners fired up the first big flare, acquiring Randy Arozarena. Their only other real move was Justin Turner, who's had a real hot week at 39 years old. The Mariners lineup is so bad, he should help, but it's not an oh-no acquisition, I don't think, if you're the Astros. The Rangers, meanwhile, they're banking on getting back Josh Young, a little bit of Jacob deGrom, Tyler Mahle. They added a backup catcher and relief pitcher Andrew Chafin, who's better than Ferguson, but not going to turn around the Rangers bullpen, getting it to Kirby Yates and David Robertson by himself. So I would say within the American League West, the Mariners had the best action going to the deadline, but this is a three-horse race to the finish.
Well, fingers crossed that it is. We want to thank everybody who came in and joined us for the live show. We do appreciate the support. Do us a favor while you're all still here. Click like on the video right now. You don't know how much that really does help and gets the word out and gets our videos in front of more eyeballs. So we appreciate it. If you listen on podcast and you enjoy the show, please be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Charlie, Josh, and I will catch you next week for a brand new episode of Stone Cold Strohs. While you're here, though, make sure you're subscribed to Sports Map Houston on YouTube and Sports Map Texans on YouTube. We're going to be ramping up the podcast Texans on Tap very, very soon before following the first preseason game. So make sure you are subscribed to Texans on Tap on YouTube so you can come by and check us out for our live reaction after that first preseason Texans game. Thanks for listening. Until next time, go Strohs.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.